ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू थैंक श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल्स अथॉरिटीज दैट यू गिवन मी अ चांस टू स्पीक हियर एंड ऑल्सो I would like to thank all of you who have come in on such a rainy day. It's pouring, but still you have come here to prove what is the purpose of life. So I'm very thankful that all of you have come here, and on behalf of the temple, we welcome all of you here. While coming here, I was a bit late, and at least 4 or 5 people told me, are you giving class today? So you can imagine that on my face it was written that I am giving class. So giving class at this temple is always a tense moment, because we have big Maharathis here speaking, and in front of them a what do you call it? Navasukhya, or a neophyte person is trying to speak. So it's always a tense moment, but nonetheless, we will speak something based on what we have heard from spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So please accept it, even though it might be full of faults. Today I thought, that we have a mixed class of people here. We have those who have been coming for 20 years, right? And we have those who have been just, probably there might be many new people who have come for the first time here. So we always have a mixed crowd. And to speak to both the crowds, the message has to be applicable to everyone. So I chose a particular shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which addresses both of them. This shloka goes like this. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho arthaya pakalpate narthasya dharma kantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to the sages, Smritaha, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So it addresses both the crowds. Those who have come and they do not know much about goal of life, and those who already know the goal of life and they are on this path, how both of them should behave. So this is a beginning verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Suta Goswami is addressing the sages in the Naimisharanya, and to their question he is answering this. This is the occupational duty of everyone. So, dharmasya hi apavargasya. Apavarga means liberation. That means you are no more bound to this material world. So, if there is apavarga, there has to be pavarga. So, what is this pavarga? Of course, nowadays we all read, everyone starts with A, B, C, D. But in the previous days, most of the schools would start with OIE, KHA GHA GHA. So in that, in those alphabets, there is one class of alphabets, K, called as pa varga. That is pa pha ba bha ma. Pa pha ba bha ma. So pa varga means these five things. And that is what the whole life is all about. In the material sense, life means nothing but pa varga. So what is this pa varga? There is parishram. So a person is working very hard, thinking that only if I work, then only I can maintain myself. And he is so convinced of this fact that he is not sparing a single moment. India has been a country which is full of festivals. If you see our past history, people, the economy was based on agriculture and cows. So naturally, people would work only for 4 months. Just 4 months they would work. Those 4 months also, it was not complete work. They would work, their work would start when the rains would start. They plant the seeds, and then they protect the seeds. Then they take off, and then it comes up, and there's a harvest season, and they work hard, get it back, and then there's a wonderful festival of harvest. And rest of the 8 months, and also in between these 4 months, it is simply festivals. This is the Indian scenario. But slowly, more and more people, we are all convinced that this doesn't work. Correct? So therefore, now all 12 months a year you work, no holidays. Then somebody thought that, you know, this Sunday holiday, I will earn more on Sundays. So now there is all 7 days of working days. There is no off in between. And then somebody thought, no, this 8 hours business is not good. So I will work more. 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours. I will continuously work. Then some of them, they thought, this is not correct. Why should we uselessly waste the night? So it is night shifts. So in this way, there is no end point of where you can stop. Of doing this parishram, the hard work, only because there is a conviction that when I earn, then only I am happy. Very tragic conviction. Very, very tragic. And today, people are, you know, telling their employees or whoever they are, ki, please take off. Somebody is not taking off, he is on the record. This fellow has not taken off. So the management forces them, go off. So in the off also, they do so many other things. And when they come back, they have a problem. Because they are so tired of that after that off. So it's like fully convinced materialistic mind that unless I do parishram, nothing is going to happen the right way, the way I think. And therefore, because of this hard parishtam, there is fena. You actually start foaming at mouth. There is fen coming out. And because you work so hard for it, the life makes you completely bound. There is bandhana. You are completely bound. Pa, pa, ba. And now, you are so attached to everything, what you earned. All of you here sitting here, you must have heard from your parents. And now if you are parents, you must have told your children that I was a zero. You know, I was a zero. I have come up in life. Look at where I am today. Correct? Most of you will hear this from your parents. And if you are parents, you must be telling this to your children. It's natural. Because everyone thinks the story is same. Every house, you are no more unique personalities. It's a material world. Everyone is going through the same pa pha ba bha ma. That's why The sages have classified as per varga. So you are so attached to this particular achievement that there is bhaya. You are completely fearful. My God, what happens if I have a heart attack? What happens if there is a bomb blast? So many things. What happens if economy crashes? And so on and so forth. We are completely fearful day and night just because we have achieved it by parishram, hard work. But then, no one cares about this. You may care so much about it, but the time doesn't care for it. He is there. The jaws of time, they are there to crush you at any point of time. They are just waiting. When is your time over? And that's how mar comes, mrityu. And then mrityu, everything is taken away. So this is a typical story of a materialistic life. This is what every person in this material world will go through. No matter who he is, if he has billions of dollars or rupees, or if he is a pauper, he's a male or a female or a child, whoever you are, you have to go through this pa, pa, ba, ba and ma. So apavarga means to get rid of this pavarga, to come out of this. And that is what it is stated in this shloka. That all occupational engagements are certainly meant for the ultimate liberation, that is apavarga. But they should never be performed for material gain. But contrary to this, we are caught up completely in this pavarga. And also, this is if we do not know what is Krishna consciousness, what is goal of life. We have never thought about why am I here, what is the purpose of my life. But if you have thought about it, then you come to the process of dharma or Krishna consciousness. And then you know the goal of life. So as soon as you start performing the process of bhakti, Krishna consciousness, naturally there are many side effects which happen. And one important side effect is a material gain. Because your dharma, naturally you are going to next step, that is artha. You are going to gain prosperity, peace, your wonderful friends, you are part of a society, you have a culture, you are a cultured person, people respect you. So many things happen just because you are Krishna conscious. And naturally when this kind of things happen, then the shloka says, furthermore, according to the sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. This is a sorrowful affair. If we are already on this path and then we use these material gains to cultivate what we have already tried to give up, the material sense enjoyment, sense gratification, then we are in a very pitiable situation. And therefore, we have to make sure that whichever class we belong to, whether we are the new devotees or whether we are the old devotees, we have to make sure that we do not forget the goal of life, and that is to surrender to Krishna. We have come here to surrender to Krishna. That is our goal. Sri Krishna himself describes in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. He is telling us that actually there might be so many concepts of religiosity, how you should live your life, but give up all those things and make your goal of life as surrender to me. So, I have selected this topic today and we will be discussing, first of all, whom to surrender. Second, why we should surrender. What happens when we surrender? who can surrender and how to surrender. So we have Lord Krishna as the supreme authority. He tells us very clearly that just give up all varieties of religious processes and surrender unto me. That is his direct instruction to all of us, whoever we are. We might be belonging to so many external religious faiths, but even that, he is saying, give up that and just surrender unto me. This is a direct instruction. And throughout the scriptures, we see that he is the single most personality whom to surrender. In our life, we are looking for shelter. All of us are looking for shelter. Roti, kapda, makan, they say. These are basic necessities. We need food, we require clothing, and we require shelter. But the ultimate shelter is Lord Sri Krishna. Because when we approach him, we are immediately completely removed from this pa, pha, ba, bha, ma. The bhai. Before mrityu, the bhai is there. We are fearful. This whole world is full of fear. The economy, advertisement, so many things, they are all based on this principle of fear. But, like Srila Prabhupada, he is known as Abhaya Charana. Abhaya Charana Arvinda. That was his name. So, Sri Krishna's lotus feet, they are Abhaya Charana. As soon as we take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, we become completely aloof or completely immune to any fear of this material world. Now all of us, we want to be like that. We don't want to be living in fear. We always, throughout our life, we plan our life in such a way that somehow if we can avoid the fear. Correct? Every one of us, knowingly, unknowingly, we are planning our life in such a way that no danger comes to us. But is that possible? Is that possible? It is impossible. It is impossible that you can be completely immune to fear, except when you take shelter of the Lord. So to illustrate this, and how the Lord is the only personality who is worth taking shelter of, we have a beautiful story. There are hundreds of stories of how the Lord protects his devotees. But today we are going to talk on this particular story from the Srimad Bhagavatam of the Gajendra, the elephant Gajendra. This comes in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. A beautiful story. Gajendra was the king of the elephants. Very, very powerful. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when he would walk, the earth will practically tremble. That was his weight. And he was so powerful as a king of the jungle that even the most ferocious animals like tigers and lions, they would run away even if they would smell that he is coming. Not seeing him. Just the smell of his body would make them run away. That was his power. So you can imagine that we hanker sometimes to become very powerful. So can you imagine somebody so powerful that just his smell, his scent makes ferocious animals go away. And at the same time, the smaller animals, rabbits and deers, they would be fearlessly walking around him because in his protection, everyone was thriving. We want these kind of leaders, right? We think, yeah, this is wonderful. Somebody is so powerful. So everyone thrives in his protection. So this was Gajendra. And he had a big family of many wives and friends and relatives and children. And every day he was enjoying with them in their company. Being fully powerful, he had complete independence to go anywhere. And he would reside on a mountain called as Trikuta. Kuta means peak. So there are three peaks of this mountain, and it's a celestial mountain on which The three peaks were made of iron, silver and gold. And in the valleys, there were beautiful gardens. And one of the valleys, there was a garden known as Ritumata Garden. This garden was owned by a powerful demigod, Varuna. And he had maintained it so beautifully that there were beautiful trees on the bank, very, very exotic birds, beautiful lotuses. All the times, the apsaras and the demigods, they would come and take bath there. And because of their scented bodies, the water would be scented. If you go there, the breeze would be always smelling very wonderfully. So a very intoxicating kind of atmosphere. So one day the family decides, let's go for picnic. Typical. This is what we do always. Yeah? We are working, we want a nice house in some nice valley, a swimming pool. This is the desire of every person nowadays, that they want like this. So this Gajendra had this. So he thought, let's go for the picnic. And all of them are going for the picnic. And while going for the picnic, he's drinking. He's intoxicated. In fact, the liquor was, oozing out of his mouth. He's completely intoxicated, but at the same time, very powerful. And he's splashing water. He's breaking trees, playing with his kids. It all sounds very familial. This is what everyone is desiring to do. This is very familiar. Playing with kids and wives and friends. And then he gets tired, so he decides, let's take bath. So everyone enters the water. And there also, as soon as he takes bath, he's fresh to enjoy again. So he starts splashing water very playfully on his children and wives. And everyone is laughing, giggling, very happy. It's a typical day. It's like, nice picnic. And suddenly, something happens which is not typical. There is a crocodile in the waters. He's angry because he has made the whole water so disturbed by his playing and sporting that he catches one of the feet of this Gajendra. And then Gajendra is very powerful, so he is not going to be afraid of such small things. He understands, okay, somebody has caught me. So begins his fight. And for, it is described in the Srimad, 1,000 celestial years they are fighting. Imagine their power. Both of them are fighting. The crocodile sometimes pulls the elephant inside the water. Sometimes the elephant, Gajendra, he pulls him out on the shore. Then again he pulls him back. And slowly, day by day, Gajendra understands that I am losing. Why? Because he has no food. He can't eat food. He can't do anything. Whereas this crocodile is getting a lot of power because he's drinking blood continuously. He's in his natural position of being in the water. And Gajendra is outside his natural position. He's an animal of water, animal of earth. He is not accustomed to fight in water. And in this way, there is a very odd circumstance which is going on. Because of this fight, because it's a great fight, all the demigods, they are surrounding and watching what's happening. What Gajendra is going to do now? And all the relatives, they are also looking at him. His wives are looking at him, children are looking at him, friends are looking at him, but no one can help him. They are simply crying. And Gajendra understands that this is actually useless crying. What is the use of this crying and howling? I am in such a situation that now, very soon, I will be dying. So he became very afraid that now I will be killed. And in that fearful situation, who was this Gajendra? He was a great king, Indradyumna. of the Pandya dynasty of Dravida Desha, South India. In South India, there are two great dynasties, Chola dynasty and Pandya dynasty. So he was one of those kings, very great devotee. And he used to pray by the advice of the sages every day. And at the end of his life, he had given up his family, gone to the forest. And he was meditating on the Supreme Lord. And that time, Agastya Rishi had come. And he saw that this king is silent. He is not offering me any water. He is not speaking to me. So he became very angry and he cursed him. But because you are so manda buddhi, you don't understand that some brahmana has come and you can't offer even water. So become a manda buddhi animal. You become an animal with less intelligence, and that is the elephant. But when he becomes elephant, naturally, because he was such a great devotee, he becomes the greatest elephant, Gajendra. So because of this past memory, in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Nehabhi Kramajashosti Pratyavayo Nividate. Even if you have taken slightest step on this path of devotional service, it will never be wasted. It will always protect you. So therefore, with that law, he had remembered that, yes, I must take shelter of the Supreme Lord, even in the elephant's body. And when he took shelter, he didn't know who is this person in this body. He didn't know whether his name is Krishna or Ram, whom to pray. But he still addressed him, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Like this. And as soon as he started praying, Lord Hari, he just came on the back of Garuda. And he was seen on the horizon. And the demigods, they were standing. And they were wondering that whether we should help him or we shouldn't help him. But because of their false ego, they thought, anyway, he is not addressing to us. So why should we help him? And in this way, because of this, they were not ready to help him out. And when Lord Hari came, all these demigods, they understood, no, we have made a mistake. We should have helped him. Ultimately, he is the devotee of our Lord. So we are also devotees, he is also a devotee, we should have helped him. But we kept quiet. So they started praying to the Lord in a very ashamed heart. They felt that we have not done our duty properly. But Lord Hari was so concerned about what's happening with this devotee Gajendra that he is not bothered to hear the prayers. He just even does not even look at the demigods. Straight away rushes to the spot where Gajendra is being caught by this deadly crocodile. And in this way, Lord Hari severs the head of this crocodile by his Sudarshan Chakra. And then he delivers both the crocodile as well as Gajendra. Gajendra, he attains his Sarupya Mukti. He gets Sarupya Mukti. He attains his four-armed form. And actually the Lord makes him sit on Garuda and takes him back right there. Because Gajendra, he starts praying. That actually I don't know. I am praying to you for protection. But now I realize that this is useless. Why should I be in this body? What is the use of my being protective of this body? Better you give me the final destination. So in this way, the Lord protects both of them. The crocodile who got his celestial form as a Gandharva, he was also a cursed personality. And Gajendra also gets his original form of Chaturbhuja form, that means four-armed form of a Vishnu Das. And in this way, he goes back to the spiritual world. Now, if we see here in this story, that Gajendra was actually completely fitting in this Pavarga methodology. Yeah? He was actually living like this. He is completely unconscious of what is happening, what is the goal of life. And as soon as he took shelter from that pavarga, he has definitely gone to the apavarga immediately. So this is the method. That if we want to go from pavarga to apavarga, the methodology is to take shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. And by that shelter, immediately we achieve what we want. So therefore, the idea that this material world is going to give us happiness through this parishram, hard work, is a very ridiculous idea, because no one has ever become happy in this material world. We have so many examples of in the Shastras, like Gajendra. Gajendra was the most powerful person. Hiranyakashipu was the most powerful person. Ravan was the most powerful person. All these powerful personalities, their power cannot save them from the last part of this power, that is mrityu, mo. So a devotee, understanding this, completely takes shelter of Lord Sri Krishna and prays that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays this, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. That means, he says, Hey Nanda Tanuj, Hey Lord Sri Krishna, somehow or other I have fallen into this material world. Please pick me up and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. This is the glory of his lotus feet. That if even if we get a position of an atom at his lotus feet, that is more than sufficient. It is not necessary to become some big devotee or a big personality in the association of the Lord. It is sufficient just to be an atom at his lotus feet. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us. And the devotees, they also are so keen to take shelter of the Lord that no matter what obstacles can come in their life, they will always march, just like the river Ganges. It does not stop. All the obstacles may come, but the Ganges will stop only when it meets the ocean. So in this way we can see that this is the actually only goal of life. How to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And what happens when we surrender? Because surrender is a very... the word itself strikes fear in our heart. Many people who are preachers, they will agree with me that when we preach, when we talk to the people, that okay, this is the process, you please come and surrender. So okay, what happens when we surrender? Well, all your material desires will be vanquished. So then the answer generally many people will give, that's precisely why I don't want to surrender. Right? Because they are fearful. They are so attached to the material things. We are all. When I am saying they, actually we are all part of it. We are all part of it, that we are so fearful. Even while surrendering, we always want to tell the Lord, please make it slow and sweet. Huh? We want to do like that. I want to surrender, Krishna. But make sure that it is not painful. Huh? We say like this. But actually, a real devotee is that one who understands Krishna is the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. So therefore, he knows, he has complete faith that just as Krishna, he is not only the cause of good things happening to me. He is cause of every problem which I am going through. He is the cause of all causes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. I am the superintendent of this whole material and spiritual universe. Under my direction, directly, this world is working. So how can we say that only good things are happening in my life because of Krishna's mercy? Because this is a very dangerous mentality. Sometimes we, as new devotees, oh, I came to the temple and you know today I got my results and I have 92%. See, I am, so Krishna is so merciful. Or something else happens and some good fortune, so-called good fortune comes upon us and we say, Krishna is very merciful. But how many times we say, when something goes wrong with us, we have some health problem, or economic problem, or social problem, or family problem, how often we thank Krishna? Krishna, thank you. Huh? How often we do that? We don't do that. We ask, why Krishna, I have been a devotee, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles. What's happening? Did you forget your promise? Kaunteya prati janahi, name bhaktya pranashyate. So Krishna, you gave promise that my devotee will never vanquish. But this is a superficial understanding. A real devotee understands that Krishna protects in all circumstances. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he tells us about this Gajendra. That actually, Gajendra, we might look at him as, oh, he was in problem. He was in problem and Krishna came and saved him. Poor Gajendra, he is in such a terrible problem. But a transcendentalist view is, Gajendra was always in problem and now he is in a solution state. His solution has began as soon as he was caught by the crocodile. His good fortune began when the crocodile caught him with his deadly jaws. This is a transcendentalist vision. That's how they look at it. That everything which comes to us is planned by Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. And therefore, he is the personality to whom we should run for shelter. He is the only one. He is the shelter of each and every individual. There is no shelter superior to him. This we should be convinced. If you are a Vaishnava, he says, Vaishnava are my prana. They are my heart and soul. Ambarish Maharaj, when he was standing, waiting for Durvas Muni, and Durvas Muni understands that, okay, he took sips of water. He did not wait for me. He promised that he will dine with me. So in anger, he takes out his hair, dashes on the earth, and makes a big demon come out. And this Ambarish Maharaj, he is just looking at him. Probably he is thinking, what did it go? What went wrong? I was trying to serve him. But nonetheless, in that very trying circumstances, he thought, if this is the Lord's desire, let it happen. And because of that, Lord Sudarshan came and chased, first killed that personality and then was chasing Durvas Muni. And Durvas Muni step by step goes through Indra, Brahma, Shiva, and ultimately Lord Vishnu also. And says, please, stop this Sudarshan, he's burning my back. And what does Lord reply? He says, no, this is not within my control. In fact, I have no power of myself. Whatever power I get is from my devotees. They are more powerful than me. Go back to Ambarish. If he gives you forgiveness, he forgives you, then the Sudarshan will stop. And that's what happens. So if you are a Vaishnava, this is the most merciful Lord, most friendly Lord. In fact, Maharaj Kulashekar, beautiful verse, I don't remember the verse, but the sentiment is very beautiful. When you surrender to someone in material world, naturally you have the full expectation of complete exploitation. You are going to be miserable from that moment. But it is not so with Lord Sri Krishna. As soon as you surrender, there is complete freedom. You are happy. You are a friend to him. You can talk to him as a friend. So this is a beautiful sentiment with Kulashekar. Maharaj Kulashekar says that now that through all the tribulations, I have attained your shelter. I am very, 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 very happy. And now, you have also found a right candidate for your mercy. It's not my only gain. It's your gain also. Because you have to be famous as most Patita Pavan. So you got a candidate like me, who is most fallen, and you received him. So it's mutual. Both of us gained something. This is a friendly talk with the Lord. So, When we surrender to the Lord, what happens to us is that we achieve that destination of having some relationship with the Lord. Our original relationship with the Lord is that we are Krishna and Nityadas. We are completely, always, eternally, the servants of Lord Shri Krishna. That's our predominant condition. And in that, we naturally have various relationships. We might be in the constitutional position of being the servant of the Lord, a friend of the Lord, parent of the Lord, or a conjugal lover of the Lord. But in all situations, you are always in a very enjoying relationship with the Lord. As soon as you take shelter of the Lord, complete peace arrives on you. We are all struggling to be peaceful in this material world, which is an impossible thing. You cannot be peaceful. But as soon as you take shelter of the Lord, at that moment, see, such a fantastic process. You take shelter just now, you attain peace just now. You don't have to wait. Right now, you know, if anyone is struggling in his mind, please take shelter of the Lord and see what happens to you. It's an on-the-spot process. As soon as we take shelter of the Lord, you are immediately peaceful. This is amazing. He reciprocates so quickly, just like he reciprocated with Gajendra. He just, within moments, Gajendra, Lord Hari came. So this is amazing about the Lord, that what happens to us is that we completely become peaceful even while being in this material world. Just yesterday I was reading one of the very great personalities. He was describing that how when we take shelter of the Lord, we are so protected. He describes this material world as a hurricane. It's a big hurricane. So much turbulence is going on around you. In a hurricane, if you see, it's all very fast revolving. But there is an eye of the hurricane. In the center of the hurricane, there is complete peace. So he says, when you take shelter of the Lord, you are in the eye of the hurricane of this material world. It's a beautiful concept. You are just in the center. The whole world is going around with so much of miserable propositions. But that personality who has taken shelter of the Lord is completely protected, just like being in the eye of the hurricane. It's a very beautiful concept. So in this way, this is what happens to a devotee who takes shelter of the Lord. Of course, I don't have to describe what happens to those who do not take shelter of the Lord. Right? Everyone knows about it. And what happens to those who do not take? The destination is very clear. So, if you are a Vaishnava, you are taking shelter of the Lord declares that He is most dear to me. Who would not like to be most dear person to the Supreme, most powerful personality? It's a good proposition. But you might be just a yogi. You are not a Vaishnava, you are just a yogi. So Krishna says, I am Yogeshwara, please come to me. Or you might think that, no, I am none of this. I am simply bogged with this idea of being one with the Lord. I am Mayavadi. Krishna says, I am the effulgence of this Brahman. I am Brahman myself. So they also achieve the shelter of the Lord. And if those Mayavadis, if they are very fortunate, then either they will come in contact with some Vaishnavas, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a Mayavadi, great Mayavadi personality. He was the guru of many sannyasis, the scholar who knew every detail of the Sharirika Bhashya of Shankaracharya on Vedanta Sutra. But what was his qualification? He was a relative of Gopinath Acharya, who was a great devotee. And he had rendered some service to the Lord. So because of that qualification, he came closer and then he was delivered. Prakashanand Saraswati, he was a Mayavadi. But what was his qualification? His qualification is that one devotee, and this devotee, he decided that they must get their Lord Chaitanya's mercy. When Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi, he would dance and chant, go on the streets, cry, sometimes laugh, and all these 3-4 devotees, Chandrasekhar, Tapan Mishra, there was one Maharashtrian Brahmin. But these Mayavadis, this Varanasi is a seat of Mayavadas. So many, many scholars are there. They were somehow criticizing the Lord. And this Marathi Brahmin, sometimes I feel proud about being Marathi because this fellow is going to connect us. This scripture says that somehow you have to, all propensities are, you know, to be brought to Krishna's lotus feet. So, you know, even this bodily attachment of being born in Maharashtra, I feel nice about it. Because this Maharashtrian Brahmin was somehow used by Lord Chaitanya. So this Maharashtrian Brahmin, he felt very sorry that here is the Lord. He has come here to give mercy and these people are criticizing him. So he decides, okay, I'll call them for a lunch meeting. And normally Lord Chaitanya would never go to anyone's house to take lunch. He had decided already that I will never go to anyone's house. Because most of them are Mayavadis. So he would always take dinner at the prasadam at one devotee's house, Tapan Mishra's house. But when this Maharashtrian Brahmin came, he was very aggrieved in his heart, saying that, Lord, they are criticizing you. Why don't you deliver them? They are so offensive that when I tell them that this is Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, they always say Chaitanya. They can't even pronounce Sri Krishna. Why is like this? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because they are very Mayavadi Aparadhi. They're very, very offensive. That's why they can't speak the Lord's name very automatically. It's very difficult for them. But he accepted the invitation of lunch. And because of that, when he went for the lunch, all these thousands of people in the leadership of Prakashananda Saraswati are sitting. And the Lord decided, okay, these Maharashtrian Brahmins want to deliver them, so I will deliver them. So therefore, while sitting in the place where people wash their hands and throw water, he's sitting there, he just sat there and created such an effulgence on his body that they were all very amazed. Where is this effulgence coming from? And then Prakashananda Saraswati personally went and he said, why are you sitting here in such a low place? Your seat is there with us. Please come. And he gives him his hand, renders some service, gets him there. And there, Prakashananda Saraswati and all his followers, they are delivered by the Lord on the basis of logic and argument which they had put forward. So in this way, even Mayavadis, they have shelter in Lord Sri Krishna. Particularly if they are related. If they are not related, then he absorbs them in this Brahma Jyoti effulgence. And somebody is very sinful, Patita. Then the Lord says, I am Patita Pavan, please come to me. I am here, take shelter. Somebody feels, I am very poverty stricken. I have no wealth. I have nothing to offer to the Lord. He says, I am Akinchana Gocharam, come to me. Somebody feels, I am very poor, Dina. So I am Dina Nath, I am Dina Bandhu, I am Dina Vatsal, come to me. He is calling every category of person, and somebody is Asura, then he says, I am Mrityu. But everyone, each and every individual, he is the only Supreme Personality of Godhead who is worth taking shelter of. Whoever you are, the only person who is worth taking shelter is Lord Sri Krishna. And all the authorities, from Brahma to all the Acharyas, they will all vouch for this, that he is the only shelter. And then we come to the last part. How to surrender? So sometimes in the scriptures, there are so many things mentioned that just by reading scriptures, we may get confused. So therefore, a simple method is given. Just follow those people who have surrendered. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. In fact, the scriptures quite sometimes they confuse us completely. Because when you have too much scriptural knowledge, it can confuse you. It can make you very proud. You start looking at everything from scriptural point of view and lose the essence. A devotee is saragrahi. That means he has to never forget the essence. So no matter how many scriptures we are reading, the sar, the essence has never to be lost. And what is the essence? The essence is established by the action of the spiritualists, the great acharyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Mathura when he was on visit to Vrindavan. He was dancing. And one Brahmin, he came and started dancing. Both of them got very much attracted to each other. They understood that there is some connection between us. And at the end of the dance, they met each other in a secluded place. And this Brahmin, he asked, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I am a disciple of Ishwarapuri." Immediately this Brahmana said, "I knew that you have to have some contact with Madhvendrapuri." And same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I also knew that you have to have some contact with Madhvendrapuri." And then the Brahmana said, "I am disciple of Madhvendrapuri. Please come and dine with me. Please come for prasad today." At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want to take prasad at your house." Not that he invited. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his house, this Brahmana brought various bhogas and told his servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, to cook. He said, "You cook for the Lord." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, why should he cook? You should cook for me. You have invited me. I am at your house." So he said, no, because I am a Brahmana from a lower category of Brahmanas. I am a Sanodhya Brahman. So Sanodhya Brahmans are the Brahmins of the Vaishyas generally. So therefore, you are a high class sannyasi and from a very high Brahminical culture. So I cannot cook for you. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "You told me that Madhvendra Puri took prasad at your house." He said, "Yes. Madhvendra Puri took prasad at one." So he said, "Whatever Madhvendra Puri does, that is the standard. So if he has taken prasad at your house, cooked by you, I must also take prasad from your house, cooked by you." So this is the process. That sometimes it might be confusing. What is my caste? I am lower, higher, so many things. But the conclusion is given by the actions of the acharyas. So in this way, Mahajano yena gata sapantha. We take shelter of the Lord by following in the footsteps of Mahajans. And one of the great Mahajans, he gives us 9 processes, that is Prahlad Maharaj. He gives us 9 processes how we take shelter of the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. All these 9 processes, whether you are hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, worshipping His lotus feet, worshipping Him as a friend, you are completely surrendering to Him, servant. Everything you do is all going to one place, that is Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So, which process to do out of these 9 processes? Of course, Srila Prabhupada mentions that out of these 9 processes, the first 7 processes anyone can do. But the last 2 processes, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam, they are only done by very, very liberated souls. They cannot be done by ordinary new devotees. It's a stage beyond our perception right now. We are in sadhana bhakti. So we can talk only of the first 7. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, ki amongst all the 9 processes of chanting, which is the best? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the essence of all the 9 processes. And all the 9 processes are included in this chanting of the holy names. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada always mentioned that all of our activities should be geared in such a way that we can chant the holy names better. Not that we are chanting the holy names and planning for the day. It might be our devotional service. We think that by chanting the holy names nicely, we will be able to do our devotional service nicely. It's the other way around. By doing every other activity nicely, we should be able to chant in the first class way. The best possible way. The most sincere way. Completely giving ourselves to the holy name. Pleading to the holy name to accept us. Satsarup Das Goswami, Srila Prabhupada's senior disciple, he says that when we are chanting, we have a prayerful heart. And one of the good prayers is, please accept me. Because the Lord, he's not in need for anything from our side. When we are chanting the holy name, he doesn't need your service. He's full in himself. He has many, many millions of devotees who are very close to him, confidential devotees, who know each and every desire, and they are very powerful and very expert in how to give that service. So what are we? We do not have any expertise even in the material sense. So there, we are approaching him through this method of chanting the holy names. So we have to be pleading, please accept me. Accept me, my Lord. And in that way, when we chant in that helpless mood that I am nothing, if you want to accept, then you will accept me. It is your independent choice. So in this way, when we chant the holy names, then the Lord accepts us. And by Lord's acceptance, immediately our life changes for good. But nonetheless, when we are in this process, we just heard about this shloka, that we should not get diverted. Therefore, chanting sincerely is not just for a beginner devotee. It's for all devotees. In fact, the more number of years we pass in Krishna consciousness, we should be more careful. Our chanting every day should increase in sincerity, in its depth. Because there is always the pitfall of as we progress in Krishna consciousness, I'm sorry, I just remembered Radha Gopinath Prabhu's that tree. He shows that tree. I think it's famous everywhere. He shows that tree which has grown from outside. It just grows, grows, grows. And the root is very small. So there is an external growth of number of years, the way we wear our dhoti and we put tilak and export tilak and some shlokas and classes. So this external tree is growing very nicely. But the internal prayerful mood, those roots are not growing because our chanting is as poor as when we started. Very dangerous. So therefore, we have to go internally and make sure that those roots also grow equally, taking shelter of the Lord. Because whatever we are doing right now is the same thing we are going to do at the time of Ma. That is Mrityu. At the last time, we are going to do the same thing what we are doing right now. So if you are careless, inattentive while chanting, it will remain. That's our conditioning. Very dangerous conditioning. So it is right now is the time when we chant very sincerely. So taking shelter, surrendering to Krishna is not at all a fearful proposition. It's the most wonderful proposition. It's a happy proposition. In material world, any surrender is a very dangerous proposition. It is a proposition of exploitation. But in the spiritual side, when you take the same thing and apply to Krishna, when you surrender to Krishna, it's the most happy occasion. That's where the life begins. That's where our actual hope begins. We become hopeful from hopeless. We have so many people around us. We have so many millions and millions of people around us. We have so many gadgets for communication to each other. We can talk to so many people. But still, internally we become lonely. Why? Because we have not taken shelter of our innermost friend. Surudam sarvabhutana. He is right situated there within our heart. So if we take shelter of him through this process of chanting the holy names, then all glories to any person who takes that shelter. It's a wonderful proposition. It may be argued that it is not sometimes practical to be completely dependent on Krishna, and we should be practical and also take some steps which are, you know, practically oriented. But that is not a fact. We think like that. We have the example of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He also did this. He was an expert businessman. His business grew. And suddenly one fine day, everything was lost. And then, he took shelter of the holy name. When he had nothing. And everything began from that complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. The whole ISKCON movement, the Hare Krishna movement, the all over the world, whatever is happening today also, it started with his faith in chanting of the holy names. So it is not an impractical proposition. It's a very, very practical proposition. Even in this temple, this year we completed 21 years, Radha Gopinath temple. Now what was this temple? This temple had hardly anything. There was one small room down, this hall up, where there were many other people sharing the same hall. There was people coming and doing yoga here while the aarti is going on. Behind there were people who are sitting in asanas doing pranayam. Some people are doing exercise. This was a state. But His Holiness Radhanath Swami, he was chanting. All the devotees were chanting. Sincere chanting is going on in this temple. And today what we see, it's one of the most opulent temples in the world. It's a beautiful temple. People come to see this temple. So this is the practical effect of the holy name of the Lord. And it makes us completely fearless. Recently we were in Pandharpur and one this story which our Shyamalal Prabhu told. I really like it and want to share with you. And how a person in the most difficult circumstances was completely fearless. When these people, our Pandharpur medical volunteers, maybe about 100 of them, they went to take darshan of the Lord Vitthal on the day of Ekadashi. And there are not 1, 2 or 1,000 people. There are 10 to 15 lakh people on that same day, in the same place. So if you go in the helicopter, what you will see is only heads, black, white. Nothing, you can't see the earth. This is a state. And there is no place because there are so many people and it's a small town. There is no place for a shelter. So hundreds and thousands of people simply sleep outside on the bank of Chandrabhaga River. And this devotee, he asked one of those pilgrims, an old man, he was about to sleep now. He was, you know, trying to put his chatai and about to sleep on the bank of Chandrabhaga. And this devotee asked him, Baba, what will happen? Because it's a rainy season, suddenly rain may come. What will you do? You're sleeping on this bank. And he gave a beautiful answer. He said, Jasi Maulinji Icha. Whatever he decides, let it happen. This faith we achieve by chanting the holy names. This faith of being completely surrendered to the Lord, and that faith that because I am surrendered, He will take care of me. And take care of me in His own way, not in my own way. When He takes care of me, it doesn't mean only good things happen to me. It might be something else. But still, that is best for me. So this is the whole process of Apavarga. Coming out of this whole process, material process of pavarga. Pa, pa, ba, bha, ma. Parishram, fena, bhay, bandhan, bhay, and mrityu. So we none of us want to be in that stage. We want to be happy, peaceful, fearless. So this is the process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I thank all of you for being here and peacefully hearing whatever I have said. I have tried to say something which might be of some help to all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So now we will have the chanting of the holy names. Please stand up. Hare Krishna.